Good morning, Nashville.
Good morning.
Welcome to Uprising on this Sunday morning, where I hope that it's going to be a beautiful, warm, sunny day.
Yeah, the snow is melting.
Snow
it's
is
almost
melting.
Gone. I liked it while it lasted.
I had been hoping for some snow days, and so I enjoyed them, and I went a little longer than I expected.
A whole week out of it.
It was very cold. Oh. It was so cold that my snow dogs really didn't even want to be outside. I was amazed. I even went out with them for a while, expecting there'd be a lot of playing.
So the snow dogs were just not having it?
No, I think it was just really bitter cold.
So first of all, let's introduce ourselves real quick to people who might not know us. My name is David Ross, and I'm the worship leader at Bellevue Presbyterian Church. And Christy, you are?
I'm the pastor. I'm Christy Shea Moore, and
yes.
I'm the pastor of Bellevue Presbyterian. And I'm also a dog lover and volunteer with Big Fluffy Dog Rescue. All of my dogs have been Big Fluffies. They call you a foster failure if you adopt your dog. It's sort of a joke. You foster fail. So I foster failed twice. And I have a current foster who is a Great Pyrenees. Her name is Pippa. She's a beautiful girl. And I think it just was too cold. Pippa's probably spent a lot of winters outside and may have decided that, being near a fire and getting lots of treats inside, she's definitely all about the treats.
That's a great organization. I'm definitely thinking about coming on as a part-time or volunteer or something.
Absolutely.
Or just to foster a dog. Because I would love to have a dog. I love dogs. I grew up with one. I just can't afford, or I don't have the right setup in my house or just in life to own a dog, I feel like. But I could foster one.
You can foster, and there are some short-term foster situations. Often they just need somebody for, sometimes even just for a few days, sometimes for an overnight.
Right.
So we'll get you set up.
Yeah.
So what are we going to do this week, David? We had, a great show last week on Dr. King.
That's right.
Dr. King.
Yeah. I was thinking today could be sort of a continuation or a sort of piggyback on Martin Luther King, who was a man with vision, and he had a great dream for this country or for people. Mm-hmm. And so I thought we'd talk about dreams.
That's a great subject. Powerful. Yeah. There's a lot in scripture about power of dreams, and we have a few stories that may come to our listeners' minds when we talk about dreams. The first one that's the biggest in my mind is the Joseph story. You remember in the book of Genesis that Joseph is highly favored by his father. He's given a special gift of the coat of many colors, but he has a gift, and that he has prophetic or revelatory dreams. But as a young person, when he tells his brothers that he has had this dream of, and it involves sheaves of wheat, and he's sort of standing in the center, and others are bowing down to him. And so the brothers know how to read between the lines, and they know that he's talking about them, or at least that's how they interpret it. And in the Joseph story, ultimately that does come to pass, but it's also the seed that plants the animosity, kind of in them, or furthers the kind of jealousy that they felt over his father's love. But it's a powerful dream, and he has dreams that give him power, and when he's in Egypt, and it's ultimately what gets Pharaoh's attention, because Pharaoh's having dreams, and he needs someone who can interpret them. And so Joseph has both dreams, and he can interpret them. And then in the Gospels, in particularly the Gospel of Matthew, you have the angel that comes to Joseph, another Joseph, of Joseph and Mary, Jesus' earthly parents. And Joseph was ready to quietly kind of divorce Mary when he finds out that she is pregnant. And the angel comes to him in a dream and tells him that the baby is of God and not to do that. And then a chapter later, dreams come to the Magi, that they are to go home by another road because Herod is a danger, and he will try to get information from them about where Jesus is. So the dream saves them and Jesus and his parents. So
prophetic kind of dreams.
Powerful prophetic dreams. So what, I know you've been doing some research on dreams. What
I have.
What have you gleaned about dreams?
Gleaned about dreams?
Uh-huh.
I thought I could pull up a little bit of science on dreams.
And I don't know a lot about that subject, so.
And I don't really either, but the internet is a wonderful thing.
Cool.
Well, the main thing that I've learned is that scientists don't actually know why we dream. So there's a lot of good theories. There's plenty of like valid theories as to why do we dream, but it's not, nothing's definitive or concrete. So there's still like some mystery to it. But there are some basic facts about dreaming that I've got here. So we dream about 4 to 6 times per night. The longer, or the further along you are in the sleep cycle, the longer your dreams get. So they start off really short and they get longer as you go. People dream about 2 hours per night, assuming you sleep for 8 hours. 2 of those are spent like in a dream state. And we forget 95 to 99% of our dreams. And one theory for that is because there's a hormone associated with memory. It's called, I'm not going to pronounce it right, norepinephrine. And this gets shut down. It shuts off when we fall asleep. So our dreams physically don't get coded to memory. But of course, we remember some. So crunching the numbers, if we dream for 2 hours every night and you live to be, say, 80 years old, you'll have spent 6 years of your life dreaming.
Wow.
It's a long dream.
Wow.
But yeah, so it's like a shared human experience that we spend a lot of time doing, but we still don't really know why. But I think it's helpful to remember your dreams because I think they reveal a lot about how we're feeling and so much more. I mean, on a subconscious level, obviously.
I think it's interesting that different types of dreams that people have, because there are often certain categories of dreams or recurring themes. Do you have some repetitive dreams, types of dreams?
Yeah, I've had, they kind of change over the years, of course, but I've had recurring themes. I had a recurring dream throughout high school of a girl who I was friends with who, in waking hours, consciously, I didn't want to date her or anything. I wasn't super like into her, but she kept popping up in my dreams, and like there was definitely some level of like admiration or attraction, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like it was nothing like, it wasn't like a sexual kind of dream, but it was definitely one of
a
trip.
Because this is a family show.
Hey, it's part of life, all right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Part of being human, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't share that kind of dream.
Thank you.
On this show. Yeah, and this would happen, and we were good friends in middle school and high school, and we hung out a good bit, and I was like, why do I keep dreaming about this girl? What is it saying? What does it mean?
Well,
you know?
Yeah.
She could represent something else, or...
Could be there. Maybe something about her that appealed to your subconscious mind, or she represented something.
Right. It's like it's symbolic, maybe?
Perhaps.
I also had, what else? I had a recurring dream of, and I think this is a common one, of being lost in a school, and you were telling me you had this one as well. We had the same recurring dream.
Uh-huh.
We're lost in a school, trying to find our class,
yes.
And once we find whatever, we realize we have not been attending that class all year long.
Uh-huh. And now, slacker.
And it's time for the final.
It's the final. Oh, yes. And I, usually my dreams, too, they always have the sense that I know it's too late to drop the class. Yeah, I also don't usually have any pencils with me, number 2 pencils to take the test. So.
And it's always like a math class, right?
Yes, it's always math. Yeah.
Science or something,
I guess
a hard subject.
We're creative types. What side of the brain is that? There are different sides of the brain.
The right side's the creative
okay.
side.
Yeah. So it's,
I think.
It's the fact that it's what we're lacking, that we are. You know, very anxious about. I have those dreams. I also have preacher anxiety dreams or pastor anxiety dreams. I think you've talked about where after you started working for the church, didn't you have a dream where you forgot your guitar or something?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I was completely unprepared for a church service. Yeah.
Yeah, because I was just telling the congregation I officiated a wedding for Luke and Morgan Moore. In our congregation, and the wedding was held at the Cordell House, but I had a dream like the night before that I forgot I forgot my robe to wear. I forgot my prayer book. You know, I was running late. I was late. They were late. It was just, it was raining. It was pouring down the rain. It was just, I was very anxious about the whole thing. And I have dreams where I forget the sermon or forget the Bible or just something.
Dreams of unpreparedness.
Unpreparedness. I also have recurring dreams that involve problems with a house.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
That, like things breaking around the house or?
That there's water
maintenance
in the house.
Things.
Usually it, like something has burst and there's water in the house. And I remember as a teenager, I had a lot of anxiety about my brother when I went away to school because we had some unhappiness in family issues. And so I worried a lot about him kind of getting out on his own. And I really, really wanted him to go away to college as soon as he graduated. And so I would, when I was in school, I worried a lot about him. And I would have these dreams where the house was on fire and like he was trapped in the house and
oh man,
trying to figure out how to get him out. And so
that's a stressful,
it was,
stressful dream.
It was very, very stressful. But I think it just kind of, our dreams sometimes take form to illustrate, you know, what's on our mind, our heart.
Yeah. There's something that we should try to remember them more, I feel like, and think about them more. I think we should go to a song.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about songs, and there's lots of songs that have the dream theme.
Tons of songs about dreams.
And this is the weirdest and saddest thing. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, Dreams by the Cranberries. Gotta play it. That's one of my favorite songs. And I think you suggested it. You read my mind. We always like think
we
of the
do.
Same
we
songs.
We read each other's minds.
This yeah.
It's so weird.
It is weird. Uh-huh. But then, lo and behold, you said, well, tell people the sad news.
Yeah, the lead singer of the Cranberries, Dolores O'Riordan, passed away this week. I think at the age of 46.
She was young, yeah.
Very young. The last I read, it was of natural causes. I mean, I'm sure they're going to do an autopsy, but nothing seems suspicious, but still so sad. And there were pictures of her and her boyfriend on New Year's Eve. And, you know, I think she'd been talking to a manager or somebody she worked with just about some upcoming concerts and work she was excited about. So,
yeah,
sad.
I know she dealt with depression. So I was watching like videos of her story, and I know she canceled a whole tour last year because of back problems. Mm. So like my mind goes to like painkillers and substance, but it's all speculation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just sad. I love that band and I love her songwriting and her voice.
Yeah, very unique sound.
Let's play Dreams.
Let's listen to Dreams.
Yeah.
That was Dreams by the Cranberries. Rest in peace, Dolores O'Riordan. So sad. So sad to hear the news that she passed away. We are talking about Dreams on the show today, and the passing of Dolores O'Riordan it got me thinking about people who struggle with depression, and it was not deemed what the cause of her death was yet, but it just made me think of like Chester Bennington and Chris Cornell, and there was a good number of notable artists who took their own lives recently, and many famous people have, and regular people, and you know, mental health is a big issue and a big problem, at least in America. And when I think about kind of bigger picture dreams, like one of my dreams is for people who are struggling mentally to have more options for a way out of that kind of darkness and despair. And you know, a bigger picture dream is that we would, I guess, be more attentive to those sorts of needs and be able to spot that in people more and to help, just help each other more. I don't know. It's not a real specific dream, but it's, I sense that we need more of that.
You know, when you suggested talking about dreams in conjunction with Dr. King's dream, you know, I thought about a passage he quoted often in scripture from Proverbs, and it's one that I'm sure people will recognize, Proverbs 29:18, that where there is no vision, the people perish. And I think in that instance that our dreams for our lives or dreams for the world do involve vision. You know, what's the vision God is giving to us for our lives? There's a great poem that I love from a woman named Mary Oliver that has a line in it about, you know, what are you going to do? What do you plan to do with your one wild and precious life?
That's cool.
I'm going to use that in the sermon Sunday. And so, you know, thinking about that, you mentioned, you know, one of the things that you see called to do for the world. And I think so much of my call and the whole sense of call is something that is about our vocation. You know, what are we called to do in life? What is our dream vision in life? It's from the Latin, vocation comes from the Latin word vocari, which means to call. And Frederick Buechner is a writer and fellow Presbyterian minister who speaks about that as the vocation should be the place like where our deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. So and I just love that kind of imagery there.
Yeah, I've heard that. That's a good quote. I've heard that.
Wonderful. And I turn back as for myself as a preacher and a pastor to that everything that I do as a Christian is rooted in Christ and what he called us to do. And he very clearly in Luke chapter 4 speaks about what his own ministry is to be when he was in the temple at Nazareth on the Sabbath. And this is from Luke 4:18-19. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he's quoting Isaiah in that. But I think that for me, the great dream that I've had, you know, that is in Christ's dream, that people within the community of the church, through the church's work, and the church is simply the body of Christ, that, as I was telling you earlier, David, I'd heard some preacher put something out on social media that I love, that at their church she would proclaim every Sunday that there are no outcasts here. I want to be able to form a community where everybody is welcome. I kind of call it my little island of misfit toys. I think about that old Christmas special, but where, and everybody's unique, but everybody is wanted and loved. And particularly for Jesus, it's you know, the people also that have been marginalized, the people that have been hurt, the people that may be sorrowful and sad, you know, the people that need help, the people that are struggling. They can be wanted and be loved and know that God loves them. You know, I think about that last passage when Jesus says to, you know, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the sense of being favored by God. That means so much. So it's a big part of my own call, and been working hard to see the church, both, you know, with the building that we've been blessed with, that it be a place that can house and harbor and be a true sanctuary for people where they feel safe and loved. And also that we reach out to the community and say, this is a place for you. So we have a lot going on in the building to that end. And I hope the kind of messages that I give, you know, encourage people and what I see as our mission or vision or dream. There was a preacher named Mike Slaughter who used to always say, he was a pastor of a Methodist church in Dayton, Ohio, and he said he was the chief dreamer of the church. I always thought that was pretty cool as a job description.
Does that pay well? That sounds like it should.
It should, I think. Yeah. Like, I mean, because without a vision or without a dream, people perish.
Yeah.
Where would you know, you have to have a place where you're going. Dreams guide us.
And I think in order to figure that out, like, that's not an overnight kind of thing. You can figure out your dream or your vision, but just spending time with the Lord, spending time in meditation, which is something I'm trying to do more. There's so much benefits to it, so many benefits to it, because it brings you into the present. And kind of like dreams, like the things we worry about and stress us out, they're not real. Like, they're not actually real things. Like, mm-hmm. when you have anxiety or something like that, you're worried about like the future. And that's not a real thing yet. So, like, meditation, praying, spending time with God, it focuses, like, your brain, it focuses your energy, your spirit to the present. And I think that can clear things up, and it can help. I think that's one of the keys to finding your dream.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a scripture from Ecclesiastes 5, verses 2 to 4. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God, for God is in heaven, and you on earth. Therefore, let your words be few, for a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. So really, it's good advice for worship leaders in there, as mm-hmm. far as don't say things hastily before God. But also, it's saying that dreams come through much activity, or in other translations, it's said, like, through a lot of busyness, through a lot of stress, you're going to have dreams mm-hmm. that kind of reflect that stress.
Yeah.
So another good reason to pay attention to your inner feelings and your dreams.
Mm-hmm. So in thinking about songs about dreams, I sent you a bunch the other night, and mm-hmm. one that jumped into my mind, because I'll remember just like little fragments of lyrics. And I remembered the line, "Here's to the ones that dream," or "Here's to the one who dreams." And I Googled it, and it was from the La La Land soundtrack. And it's the song that Emma Stone sings called Audition. And it was nominated for an Academy Award. I think City of Stars won the Oscar, but Audition was my favorite song from the soundtrack from the movie. Wonderful movie.
That movie won a lot of awards, didn't it?
Well, like, there was the mess up over... They called it as the winner for Best Picture. And
that's right.
And poor Warren Beatty needs to wear his glasses, you know. And so anyway, that's a whole other show.
Yeah.
But I love that song also, just because one of my great dreams when I was young was to be able to go to France, to go to Paris. So I'd studied French for many years and loved the French language and culture. And so the song is about Emma Stone's character's aunt, who had lived in Paris, and she tells a story in this song. So we're going to cue this up and maybe just talk about it briefly afterward. But it's Audition from La La Land, a song by Emma Stone.
All right.
My aunt used to live in Paris. I remember she used to come home and she would tell us these stories about being abroad. And I remember she told us that she jumped into the river once. Barefoot. She smiled, left without looking, and tumbled into the sand. The water but said she would do it again. Here's to the ones who dream foolish as they may seem. Here's to the hearts that ache. Here's to the mess we make. She captured a feeling, sky with no ceiling, the sunset inside a frame. She lived in her liquor and died with a flicker. I'll always remember the flame. Here's to the ones who dream foolish as they may seem. Here's to the hearts that ache. Here's to the mess we make. She told me a bit of madness is key to give us new colors to see. Who knows where it will lead us? And that's why they need us. So bring on the rebels, the ripples from pebbles, the painters and poets and plays.
Again, that was Audition, sung by Emma Stone for the La La Land soundtrack. And when I hear that song, and particularly the beginning when she says, you know, my aunt used to live in Paris, I was able to fulfill a dream by spending a year in Paris after I graduated from seminary. And so I just picture my own niece, Suzanne, being able to say something about my life. And she knows how much I love to travel. We've talked about that. So here's to the ones who dream. You know, dreamers, hold on to those dreams and work to fulfill them and believe in the power of your dreams. We're glad that you've been with us today, and we're sorry that we are at the end of time. But David, tell them how they can find the show.
You can listen
past shows.
Yeah, you can find past shows of Uprising on iTunes as well as podomatic.com. Just search for Bellevue Presbyterian Uprising. Thanks so much for tuning in. Catch you next week. Peace out.
Dream on.
Dream on.
Peace out.